Good morning. Good morning, Evangel. Welcome to church. Great to see you today. Come on, would you stand with us? We're going to lift up our voices to the one who holds the whole world in his hands. Hope you are feeling encouraged. Hope you've had a good week. How many have had a good week this morning? All right, good. Come on. Let everyone that has breath praise the Lord. Come on, let's lift our voice to him.
The healer, awesome in power, our God. Oh, our God is greater, our God is stronger, and God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, you're our God.
Turn back to pray.
When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to pray. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say,
come on, sing it out.
Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name
of the Lord. Blessed be your name.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glory.
Good morning. Great to see you here this morning. Why don't you take a moment to greet somebody and tell them they're looking pretty good for a lack of sleep. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, special welcome to you this morning for being here on, it's probably the least favorite day of the year when you kind of lose an hour's sleep. Not that, you know, you get to a certain point where sleep really doesn't mean that much. But it's definitely a two-coffee day already. So good to have you here at Evangel this morning. And for those of you who are joining us on live stream, we're glad you could make it too, unless you were just really lazy and you're just watching from home, then we're kidding. We're happy you're here too. But we want to just worship the Lord together this morning and honor Him. We have a few announcements this morning, and the first one is just a reminder that in 2 weeks, Sunday, March 24th, at 11:45 will be our annual business meeting here in the sanctuary, and we do have two nominees for two positions that will be voted on that day. We have Galilee and the guest, and we'll be voting on them as part of our annual business meeting on the 24th. The 24th is also our pizza lunch day. And I know a bunch of you signed up last week, and if you haven't yet, make sure you do it. It is a suggested $5 donation. If you don't have it, you're still welcome to join us, but please sign up so that we can be prepared to serve you on that day. And so just keep that in mind. You can go to the information desk right after the service this morning, and you can sign up there for that. Just also, Easter comes early this year, and as we know, the last Sunday of March is Easter Sunday, which means the last Friday of March, the 29th, is Good Friday, and we will be hosting a Good Friday service here at 10 a.m. on Good Friday, as we always do, so just keep that in mind. This is March break for students, and so because of that, there will not be youth this Thursday night, but young adults, tonight you are meeting for your worship night, so just keep that in mind. If you have kids that are newborn to age 3, you can take them to the nursery anytime through the doors down the stairs, and if you have kids that are age 4 up to grade 5, you can leave at this time, come around the side, out through this door right here, and your volunteers will be waiting to take you down. We're going to receive our morning tithes and offerings at this time, and just encourage you to, if you want to give electronically, you can do that by sending it to giving@epcoakville.com. God bless you, and thank you, and I'll hand it back over to John. God bless you.
All my days,
I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Come on, sing it to them.
Now all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
I love your voice.
I love your voice. For you have led me through the fire. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. Oh, I am in the goodness of God. Yeah. All my life you have been. So, so good. With every breath that I am in, oh, oh, I will sing the goodness of God. All my life, you have been faithful.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
All my life. So, so good, yeah. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Your goodness is running.
For your goodness is running up.
He's running
after me.
Yes, please. Your goodness
is running out.
He's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Oh, yeah. Your goodness is running after.
He's running out. Come on, let's stand and sing.
Your goodness, your goodness, your goodness is running out. He's running after me. Your goodness is running out. He's running out to me. My life laid down, surrendered now. I give you everything. Jesus, your goodness is running out. He's running out to me.
So wonderful, so beautiful.
And all my life you have been so, so good. Yeah. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
For your goodness is running. Come on, declare.
Your goodness is running out. Is running out. Your goodness is running out.
He's running out to me.
My life laid down, surrendered now. I give you everything.
Your goodness is running out.
He's running out to me.
All my life, Lord, just lift your voice.
All my life you have.
breath that I am in, I will sing of the goodness of God. Come on, lift your voice to the Father this morning. And all my life you have been faithful. Thank you, Lord. And all my life
you have been so good.
With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God, the grace of our King. I will sing of the goodness of God, no matter what, no matter what. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. We bless your name. We sing of the greatness of your name. Great is our King. Great is our Maker. Bless your name, King Jesus. Bless your name. Bless your name. Bless your name. And I will give you all my worship. I will give you all. Your voice to him, and I will give
you all my worship,
and I will give all you all my praise, you alone I long to worship, you alone I will. Thousand generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb, and all who've gone before us and all who will believe, we will, we'll sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Thousand generations. A thousand generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb. And all who've gone before us, and all who will believe, sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Come on, your name is the. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all. Your thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. And the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, and holy, you are lifted high, and holy, holy forever. If if you've been forgiven. Come on, you can just sing. And if you've been forgiven, if you've been redeemed. Come on, sing.
Oh, sing the song forever to the Lamb.
Oh, we walk in freedom.
And if you walk in freedom, if you've been redeemed. Well, sing the song forever to the Lamb.
Yes, we will.
Yes, we'll sing the song forever in the Lamb. And the angels cry. Holy, all creation, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever.
Hear your people and hear your people sing.
Holy. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts. Thousand elsewhere.
All together.
Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your house. A thousand elsewhere. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts. A thousand elsewhere.
There is one day in the courts of our King. Where else would I want to be than in the presence of my King?
Better is one day in your better is one. Better is one. A thousand elsewhere.
We love you, Lord.
Better is one day. And every knee will bow, and every tongue confess, and every heart will cry out your name. You are welcome, you're welcome.
Every life will see,
and every eye will see the glory of our King. Oh, Jesus, come and reign in our hearts. You're welcome, welcome,
Holy Spirit.
And Holy Spirit, come, come in power. My life is yours. My life is yours. And Holy Spirit, come, start a fire. My life is yours. My life is yours.
God of heaven and earth, lift this.
God of heaven and earth, we long for more of you. Oh, and come and meet with us as we pray. You are welcome, you're welcome.
Holy Spirit, come.
And Holy Spirit. send me, God. Oh, here I am, send me, here I am.
Sing this one more time. Hear my heart. And here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. Here I am, send me, God. Oh, here I am, send me. Here I am, send. Here I am, send. Sing, here I am, send me, here I am, send me, God, here I am, send, here I am, send, here I am, send.
So we say, Lord, here we are. Thank you, Lord, that you're looking for more than just ability. You're looking for availability. We make ourselves available for you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, come.
John 17, 1-5. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those who you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world again. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Jono, for leading us and worship team this morning. This June will mark the 40th anniversary of my class graduation from high school. I know I look way too young for that. Our class was the first graduates of the new grade 12 program. Up until then, when I was growing up, it only went to grade 11. Now, that September, I traveled to Peterborough, Ontario to begin post-secondary studies. And that year, the school was introducing a new degree that focused on cultural studies. And those enrolling in my class year would be the first to
be able to achieve this degree. So I enrolled. And there were many exciting things about this new degree that the other degrees didn't have. In addition to the usual theological and biblical studies, there were courses that focused on topics like indigenous leadership, contextualization, church planting. The language requirement of the other degrees was an intro to Greek and Hebrew, which basically just gave you enough to make you dangerous. And in this degree, it was linguistics and translation. And the cherry on the top was the internship. It was the internship. The opportunity to serve in a cross-cultural setting. And so in our final year of the program, all of the students in this new program fanned out across multiple cultural environments to do internship. They went to different cultural groups in Toronto. They went to indigenous churches in the north. But I wanted something that was much more culturally immersive and intense. And Jennifer and I weren't married at the time, but we were dating, and she was kind of encouraged me along the way. So I applied for and was accepted for internship in Brazil. And the focus of my internship was primarily third world theological education. And it was great because I would be the first student to do internship in a different country as part of this new degree program. So it was really, really exciting. And I remember walking one warm evening with my internship supervisor. Yep. I'm not sure if he survived, actually. He's with Jesus now. Around a neighborhood in São Paulo. And as we walked down the street, we passed by an open window of a small storefront church. And I could hear somebody praying inside that little church. And I grew up in an environment that you believe that the louder and more intense the prayer, the more spiritual the person was who was praying. Anyone else grow up in that environment, right? You know, if they were loud and intense, man, like they were on fire. They were spiritual. And so this prayer that was being poured out in Portuguese was both loud and intense, so therefore, obviously, very spiritual. I was so impressed that I commented on it to my supervisor. And he laughed and said, he's praying for God to give him a new TV. And so my view on loud, intense prayers changed in that moment. You can learn a lot about a person by the words that they pray. Prayer reveals theological beliefs. Prayer reveals personal priorities. Prayer reveals things that we're wrestling with. And so today we're entering the final section of the farewell discourse. In fact, next week we're going to wrap this series up. But as we enter this final section, it would appear that the teaching of Jesus has ended. And he's now just focused on praying. However, there's still much that Jesus continues to teach in how he prays, in the priorities in his prayer, the focus of his prayer. And so today we're going to focus on the section of prayer that many Bibles, and maybe yours, will put a title there. You know, that's interesting that we put little titles in different sections. And in many Bibles, it says, Jesus prays for himself. Or another one might say, Jesus' high priestly prayer. I don't know what yours says, but we'll see today that neither of these really capture the focus of Jesus' prayer. I don't know, maybe someone's just hired or sitting in a room, put titles on these different sections that we've divided up. But at any point, we'll see that neither of these really capture the focus because it's really, when you look closely, it's God and others who are primarily the focus of his prayer. And there's no reference here of Jesus being a high priest in this prayer at all. So I'm not sure how we got to those places. But instead, what we will be reminded of today, which I believe this is what his prayer indicates, is this. Jesus' prayer expressed his desire that his death on the cross bring glory to God by completing the work of giving eternal life. That's what this prayer is about. So let's start with a little bit of context today. Our scripture begins with the words, after Jesus said this, he looked up toward heaven and prayed. Previously, and we talked about this last week, Jesus addressed the cross and the resurrection for the first time in the farewell discourse. Specifically, what he was focusing on was the short-term impact that his death on the cross would have on this group of followers prior to, between his death and his resurrection, that they would experience, he said, grief, and they would scatter, but later they would experience joy because he's alive again. Now, after the teaching ends, Jesus turns his attention to prayer. And Jesus' habit of prayer is mentioned frequently by the gospel writers. Matthew mentions it once, Mark mentions it twice, John twice, and Luke seven times. But rarely is the content of his prayer revealed. Usually when it is, it's just brief and to the point. Jesus prayed this and then this happened. Why is that? Well, because Jesus usually prayed alone when he prayed at length. And this scripture is one of the only times that Jesus prays at length in the presence of witnesses, praying to the Father, but also praying so that his followers can hear what it is that he's saying to the Father. Him, them hearing what he's praying is really important. It says that he looked up toward heaven. He lifted up his eyes. Now, this was the most common Jewish prayer gesture at this time, to look up. Interestingly, what do we usually ask people to do? Everybody, close your eyes and bow your heads, right? Close your eyes and look down. But in the Jewish culture, right up to this time, it was you opened your eyes and you looked up. Complete opposite. I'm not going to delve into whether that's spiritual or not spiritual. I think it's mostly an opportunity for the worship team to knock something over accidentally, draw some attention with every eye closed. I don't know. But we like to close our eyes and look down. In Psalm 123, it says, I lift my eyes to you, whose throne is in heaven. In Ezekiel 3, the Jews were condemned for lifting their eyes to idols to worship and to pray. In John 11, prior to Lazarus being raised back to life, the stone is rolled away and it says Jesus lifted up his eyes and prayed. And so even though there were times where Jesus prostrated himself, and Jews would if the prayer was intense and was offered up in anguish, and we probably see that picture in the Garden of Gethsemane, but often they lifted their eyes when they prayed, and that's what Jesus is doing here. He's lifting his eyes. Now, Jesus ultimately taught that it was the posture of the heart that mattered most in prayer. It was the posture of the heart. So what is the focus? What is the priority then? Jesus is transitioning from verbal teaching to now teaching through his prayers. He's praying out loud so they can hear him. What is the focus? What is the priority? What is it that they're hearing from him? Well, I would suggest there are two main things in his prayer. And the first is glory. Glory. 2 weeks ago, we addressed the word glory or glorify and what it means. And we said it means really to shine a light on, to highlight in order to see something better or to put a spotlight on someone or something, to elevate our ability to see them. And so Jesus begins his prayer by saying, Father, the time has come. Now this idea, this theme of the proper time has flowed throughout Jesus' earthly ministry. In John 2, in the wedding of Cana, Jesus performed his first recorded miracle. We're told that Jesus and Mary and some of the disciples were attending a wedding, and the wine ran out, a disgrace for any host. And we're told that Mary came to Jesus and asked him to help, and his response was, my time has not yet come. Then he worked the miracle. So what was all that about? Has the time come or not? He worked the miracle, but he didn't present himself as the Messiah. He kept a very low profile. In fact, most of the people who were enjoying the wine said, wow, what a great host. He saved the best stuff for last. They didn't know where it came from. In John 7, Jesus' brothers encouraged him to go to Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles and said, you should go and you should show yourself to the world. And Jesus replied, my time is not fully come. For what? To reveal himself as the Messiah. And so Jesus has been speaking about this time, about this hour, again and again, but all of a sudden he says, it's here at last. It is the time. The time has now come. It's time for the cross. It's time for the resurrection. It's time for the ascension. It's time for the Messiah to be revealed. It's time for the Father to glorify the Son, to put the Son in the spotlight, to put the focus on him, to elevate him. And so Jesus in his prayer said, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Now in Jesus' day, the Roman cross was a symbol of violence and torture and evil, but for Jesus, the cross is the means to glory. The symbol of violence and torture and evil becomes the presentation of the redeeming love of God, of God's powerful saving action. And so John chapter 1 tells us about the incarnation, and it says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and it says we have seen his glory. In John 2 at the wedding of Cana that we just referenced, it says with the miracle Jesus revealed his glory. And in John 11, after raising Lazarus, it says, they had seen the glory of God. But the supreme revelation of the Father's glory through Jesus will be the cross and the resurrection. And so in his prayer, Jesus is asking the Father for the opportunity to bring glory to the Father by first being glorified himself, and his glorification would come through the cross, through death and suffering. And so Jesus desires that as he endures the cross, that the glory of that would bring glory to the Father. In verse 4, Jesus said, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. He knows it's about to be complete. Jesus' life and death were centered to fulfilling the Father's purpose, and the result of that was glory. In verse 5, we see that Jesus says that he shared glory with the Father even before the world began. They shared this glory together, and Jesus is anticipating returning to the Father to share in that same glory that they shared before. It's Jesus' obedience to do the Father's will by dying on the cross that will bring glory to him and ultimately to the Father as well. Jesus' glory is necessary for the Father's glory. The second priority or focus of Jesus' prayer is authority. Authority. In verse 2, Jesus says, for you granted him, referring to himself, the Son, authority over all people. Now, the word authority means the power, the privilege, the influence. The Father's authority, power, and a privilege and influence has been granted to Jesus. It's been given to Jesus. Why? For what purpose did God give his authority on earth to Jesus? Well, Jesus answers the question. So Jesus can give eternal life to all that God has given to him. This section that Jesus shares in his prayer here is really an exact record of the very same message we read in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but what? Have eternal life. And so Jesus glorifies the Father, he says, by imparting eternal life. And eternal life here is more than a measurement of time. It is more than something that goes on without end. It's more than something that's reserved for later on down the road, with no opportunity to experience it in the here and now today. That's not what it's about. Jesus defines for us what eternal life is right here in verse 3. He says, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That is eternal life. To know Jesus is to know God. And to know God is to be changed, is to be transformed, is to be introduced to a life and an experience that you otherwise could not know. To know God through Jesus is to have eternal life. Jesus said in the first part of this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except he comes through me. We come to God by coming to Jesus. And when we do, we experience eternal life. A life that starts the moment we come to him and lasts for all eternity. Jesus' prayer is teaching the disciples about his authority to give eternal life by being glorified on the cross. Jesus is linking what he is doing on the cross with the provision of eternal life for all who will follow him. Now, like most practices within authentic Christianity, for many, prayer is something that is identified as being very important, yet presents a struggle to carry out on a daily basis. I guess it's like a lot of things within authentic Christianity, right? We may believe very strongly that generosity and giving is very important, or we may feel that serving is really important, or a lot of the, or you know, whatever, but often these things are a struggle to carry out on a daily basis. So is it important? Well, yes. Is it something that most people who would identify as Christians do daily? Statistically, no. Statistics show, and this is within Canada, that only about a third of people in Canada who claim to be Christian pray each day. And most who do fall within the baby boomer category. Now, these days, baby boomers get a lot of flack from younger generations, right? Being a boomer is a negative comment. I get called that a lot. Thanks, boomer, so on. I'm not a boomer, so I'm 2 years off from being a boomer. If you turn 60 this year, up to 78 this year, you are considered a baby boomer. The majority of people who said they pray daily fall within the ages of 60 and 78, and the majority of them are female. The lowest participation, I found this a little surprising, falls to those who have children under the age of 18. I think I prayed more when our kids were under the age of 18. Well, I don't know, maybe not, but you'd think you'd be on your face crying out to God all the time if they're under the age of 18, but surprisingly, it was the lowest participation. Maybe they're just too busy trying to do all the stuff and not realizing how important prayer is. I don't know. My point, though, is simply this. Most Christians would say prayer is important. Most pastors would say prayer is important. I think on average, most pastors, they say the majority, 80 or something percent of pastors pray on average 7 minutes a day. So, you know, most Christians would say prayer is important, or pastors would say important, but it's something that in reality is something that most people who consider themselves Christians actually struggle to do. They struggle to do it. And when we do, what is the most or the main focus of our prayers, usually? What is the usual focus? Well, most would admit that the focus of prayer is often themselves, or our families, or people we know. Our prayers are focused most often about problems, health, jobs, relationships, finances. And I want you to know, I think it's really important to pray for these things. It's important to pray for our problems. And our health, and our jobs, and our relationships, and our finances. Not just for ourselves, but it's also important to pray for our families and those we know. I believe that God invites us to pray for these things. I think these things are legitimate prayer focus areas. Other prayer priorities may be a deeper faith. You're praying that God will give you a deeper faith, or a greater love, or a deep change from within, or wisdom with decisions. Again, these are very important areas of prayer. And I believe that God invites us to pray for these things. They're critical things for us to be praying for. But over and above all of that, what I want us to note is that, well, in this particular prayer here, that none of these things are the priority of Jesus' prayer here. They're not. He doesn't mention his problems or his circumstances or a decision that needs to be made. He's focused entirely on God's will being done. And the spiritual impact that will have for all those who follow him. For God's will to be done, for his prayer to be answered, the suffering of the cross must happen. God's way, God's method must become the priority. So what can we learn about Jesus' prayer over and above all the other things we believe about prayer, which are legitimately true? Problems and health and concerns and wisdom and walk with God and others and all those things. But is there another layer? What can we learn of this from Jesus' prayer that adds another layer of importance to understanding prayer, of how we can and should pray? And I believe there is. I believe, first of all, we need to continue to pray in the way that we've been praying for problems, health, and all those issues. We need to continue to pray for ourselves and our families and those we know, and we need to continue to go deeper with God and to seek Him and the Spirit's deep change within us and God to direct our lives. But as we do all that, we should also make sure that we keep at the forefront of our prayers a commitment with our lives for God's will to be done. God's will to be done in our lives. God's will to be done in our families. God's will to be done in our relationship. God's will to be done in our church and in our neighborhood and in our workplace and in our school and our country and our world. For His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Like Jesus prayed, not my will, but yours be done. I would suggest that that's probably the hardest part of praying. It's not asking for the things that really resonate with us deeply. But when we pray that, we're acknowledging and embracing that praying for God's will to be done will often require some sacrifice, some suffering, some pain for God's purposes to be accomplished in our lives and in our world. So praying this way is not the most popular way or important that we put the importance we put on prayer. It's kind of like when our kids were writing the exams and they'd say, "Dad, can you pray for me?" And I say, "Yeah, I'll pray that God will reward you with all the diligence and hard work that you've done in preparing for the exam." And I said, "Never mind. Don't pray that. Right? Pray the other stuff. Don't pray that. That's a hard prayer. I don't want to get what I seemingly may deserve." And that's sometimes how it is with prayer too. That some of the parts of praying are easier to pray because they don't require the same pain and sacrifice and surrender as it does when we pray for God to work through us despite all of the pain and hardship that we may have to endure for His will to be accomplished. So let's make sure that the posture of our hearts, not our eyes or our bodies or our hands, but the posture of our hearts is like the heart of Jesus. Father, not my will, but yours be done. We sang a few minutes ago, "My life is yours." That's what we're praying when we pray that. My life is yours. I'm going to invite our worship team back. Folks, it's Jesus' obedience to do the Father's will by dying on the cross that will bring glory to Him and ultimately to the Father as well. And to know God through Jesus is to have eternal life, and that's where all that glory leads. And then we come to God by coming to Jesus, and when we do, we experience eternal life, a life that starts the moment you come to Him and lasts for eternity. So let's make sure, along with the many other things that we bring to Jesus in prayer, we also keep at the forefront of our prayers a commitment for God's will to be done in and through us. Jesus' prayer expressed His desire that His death on the cross bring glory to God by completing the work of giving eternal life. Would you stand with us this morning? And I'm going to invite our worship team to lead us. And as we do this morning, you may be here and you know that, you know, you've heard that Jesus has given His life so that we can all have eternal life for those who know God and those who know Him. And maybe this morning you would say, "Pastor, I really don't know Him. I don't know Him. I'd like to know Him." And as we do this morning, why don't that be the focus of your prayer? Lord Jesus, I want to know You. I want you to be central in my life. I want to accept the work of the cross. I want to follow you. I want to experience eternal life today and every day for eternity because of you. And this morning, for those of us who maybe serve and have served him for a long time, maybe we just need a fresh reminder this morning of the difficult prayers that sometimes we're called to pray, the prayers of surrender, the prayers of sacrifice, the recommitting of our lives daily to everything that glorifies and honors him. John, would you lead us this morning?
Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. Singing for the glory of the risen King. Shine your light in, let the whole world see. Singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light in, let the whole world see. For the glory of the risen King. Savior and Savior, he can move a mountain. For my God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, he rose in conquer the grave. Everyone needs compassion. Everyone needs compassion. A love that's never fading. Let mercy fall on me. When everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. So take me as you find me. So take me as you find me, with all my fears and failures, and fill my life again. Give my life to follow everything I believe in. And now I surrender. Oh, Savior and Savior, he can move a mountain. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty forever, author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered. Shine your light, sing it, shine your light and let the whole world sing. Singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. Singing for the glory of the risen King. Shine your light, we pray. Shine your light and
let the whole world see.
We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Oh Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King.
Lord Jesus, we are so grateful this morning that you moved mountains to find us, to invite us, to make it possible for us to come to you and know you as our Lord and Savior. We thank you for the cross this morning. We thank you that we glory in the cross, the symbol of suffering and shame. We glory in it because you gloried in it for where it would lead. We thank you that for the joy set before you, you endured the cross, despising its shame. And we stand here today, the recipients of praying that your Father's will be done and laying your life down so willingly that we might know eternal life. Lord Jesus, thank you for the privilege of knowing you. Thank you for the hope that we have because of you. And thank you that we can come before you today, and we do. We bring our problems to you today. We bring our families to you today. We bring health crises, and we bring challenges and financial struggles. We bring our jobs and our schools, our neighborhoods. We bring this world that is so dysfunctional and broken and filled with hate and war, and we pray for peace. We pray for a deeper work of your Spirit in our lives. We pray that you would do the difficult work of changing us, of helping us, of making us more like you. And Father, this morning as we consider the words of Jesus, we recognize that when prayer reaches that level where we're willing to face whatever is needed for your will to be accomplished, that great things come out of that. And Father, I pray that you would help us today. Those who are struggling, who are feeling intense pain and hurt and hardship, on way to good things coming through in their lives. And Father, we were reminded last week that you shared the example of a woman giving birth and the turmoil and the pain, but then the joy when the child arrives. We put our hope in you that better days are ahead and better things are ahead and answers to prayer are ahead. And that ultimately that you would be glorified in us and through our lives. Father, we pray today for Fernanda's sister who has cancer. We pray for your healing. We pray for Susan Laird's brother, Dwayne, who has serious health issues right now. We pray, Lord God, for many in this congregation who are struggling to recover, who are struggling with ongoing illnesses and struggles, issues. God, help us, we pray. And be glorified through everything that we experience and everything that we go through and everything that we endure. And may you be center in all of it, and may Jesus be seen in all of it. And may you be glorified in all of it. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would make it count for something for your kingdom. We pray these difficult words today. In your name we pray them. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here today. God bless you.